Kodesh Tov world, La Yodima Aital, Rabbi Simcha V'Sasson V'Yikar. And we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah in Masechet Nazir, Daf Lamed. And we're closing up the parak today, Bezrat Hashem. And we've been discussing the unique relationship, which is the equivalent of Bein Av Lebino, when it comes to the Inyanim of Nazira. So we had spoken about earlier the relationship of the utilization of a father's funds for a korban by a son. It ended up that the Torah specifically stressed three times korbano to make it very clear that a son cannot use his father's money when it comes to money that had been set aside for korbanos. And then we found out that specifically when it comes to naziris, in that case and only in that case, is there a din that a son can be Megaleach HaNezirut Aviv. So these were, besides the fundamental question of whether a father is actually able to create a Nezirus for his son, we also had the question of the interrelationship of the Nezirus of a father with the Nezirus of the son. Remarkable kind of new idea. So this Mishnah goes back to the Mokra of the issues about the utilization of the father's Kochim, money of Kodesh, for the son's Nezirus. And you'll recall that we had a number of different Girsaot in the Braita. We were discussing this sugya earlier, and we chose the Rosh's Girsa. We'll continue to go with that. According to that Girsa, which we'll use in the Mishnah as well, it turns out that if the son was a Nazir during his father's lifetime, together with his father, and then his father had set aside money for his own korbanos and died without being able to complete it, that in that case, the son who was previously a nazir cannot utilize those funds. Mashenken, if the father had died leaving the mos for his naziras, and then the son wants to go and to say, I'll be mekabala myself, nazirut, and thereby bring the korbanos of my father, in that case, and only in that case is he able to be megaleach on the money of his father. And that was the girsa that the Rosh preferred. He said that it made much more sense that if the person is mekabel the nazirus with the initial understanding that it's going to be brought with those korbanos, it's far more reasonable that that was the case specifically that was mutter. So that's how we'll read the Mishnah. Ha'ish megaleach al nazirut aviv ve'in ha'isha megaleachat al nazirut aviv. So first of all, this implies that besides the special relationship that we have in terms of Nedarim, Ben Av Lebito, there's actually not only a specific relationship of Ben Av Lebno, which does not apply to the mother, as we saw yesterday, but there's also a specific relationship in terms of the usage of funds, at least, in which there is a greater relationship of a man to his son than to his daughter, Benogea, this issue of Nazirus. We'll see more about that as we go along. So a woman could never be Megalachat on the Nazirut of her father. So what's the case in which we accept this? So the Girsa that we have, that we preferred, which was the Rosh, Misha Yahuv Aviv Nazirim. So let's say that somebody was concurrently in his father's lifetime, a Nazir together with his father, and then the father was mafrish ma'otz to nima niziruto and died before being able to utilize those funds in the completion of his own niziras. So it's in that case that Rabbi Yossi says, well, don't think that over there that the son is able to use those funds. No, actually, that's a classic case of having ma'otz to mim of niziras left over. And what was the case over there? Halacha was, hare elu yiplu l'nedava. Those fall into the category of Nidvas Tzibur, and they go to the special Kayetz and Mizbeach Shofar. And Ein Zeh Megaleach HaNezirut Aviv. Don't get confused to think that we would include a case like that in this special halacha. But I'll tell you what would be the case of Megaleach HaNezirut Aviv. Ein Zeh Osh Megaleach HaNezirut Aviv. The cases where Dafka the son was not a Nazir concurrently with the father. His father was a Nazir, Misha Yavav Nazir. And his father set aside Ma'ot without defining them, Ma'ot Tumim, for the purposes of bringing his own karbanos, and then the father died before he was able to be able to complete the nazirus, and he never brought those karbanos. And then, after the death of the father, the son said, "Omar, harini nazir amanat shagaleach amaod aba." So I bedavka want to be a nazir, utilizing that money that my father had set aside for his karbanos. In that case, that's where we learned zehu shemegaleach al nazirut aviv. So that means that we have a very special case in which, even though we learned out from three psukim, where we were stressing korbano, velo korban aviv, and we made sure to understand that that three psukim were there to tell me, under any and all circumstances, whether it was mina chomor ala kal, or mina kal ala chomor, and so on and so forth, makes no difference. The bottom line is, you can never use your father's chatas money. So in this case, we're coming along and we're saying, strangely enough, that when it comes to Nazirut, you actually can. Now that means that this is definitely a case that violates the Limudim that we had been learning up until now. Where does that come from? My time. Why in the world would that be true? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, it's another one of these unique halachas, says Rabbi Yochanan, that we learn out specifically from halacha l'moshe miSinai, in which Nazirus is indeed, just like we understood that Neder and Nazir are violations of norms in their essence, and that's the Zeh HaDavar, so too do we have specific halachas which continue talking about strange, unique halachas that only appear in the context of Nazir and that may violate indeed the normal way that we look at the overall dinim of korbanos. So this is a special halacha ibn Nazir in which there's an interrelationship of the father and the son. Now, apparently there's a piece missing over here which which does appear in some of the Rishonim, but for some reason nobody sticks it back into the daf. But it's obvious that the Mishnah, the next piece in the Mishnah, was meant to appear here, which is that Ein Habat, Ein Habat Migalachat al Nazirut Avia, which was the next piece in the Mishnah. So it's on that that the Gemara says, that would seem to be pretty obvious. Why would the Mishnah need to tell me that? Pshita. I mean, what is it basically saying? That a bat is not Yoreshet her father? Well, I mean, we know that. So, the Ben Yoreshet Aviv Bat Lo, I certainly don't need a Mishnah to tell me that. Now, this is a very problematic statement. The reason that it's problematic is, where do we get the idea that this halacha of the son being allowed to be migaleach al ma'ot aviv, where do we get the idea that that has to do with Yerusha? There is no din of Yerusha al ma'ot that belonged to Hegdesh. I mean, the father has already given this as ma'ot stumim towards korbanos. So it certainly is not a din specifically in the norms of Yerusha, right? As a matter of fact, the Gemara is going to question, as we go along and we'll see, whether there is any aspect of Yerusha that's related to this. In other words, suppose there's more than one son. Suppose there's a Bechor. Questions like that, in which the dinim of Yerusha would lead us to a particular conclusion. Would those dinim of Yerusha apply here as well? It's not at all known to the Gemara at this point that this even is a function of Yerusha. And therefore, why jump to the conclusion, to the point where you're able to say, pshita, you don't even know that it has anything to do with Yerusha at all. So in what sense would it be pshita? So, I mean, what the Gemara seems to be saying over here is that in the event that we find that the son can take the place of the father, so to speak, by bringing those korbanos, it would be related to the concept of Yerusha, even though it wouldn't literally be a din of Yoresh. And therefore, in such a case, the simple understanding is that when we say bro kara de avua, when the son can take the place of the father, and so in a sense what he's doing, it's not that he's taking advantage of the money left over his father by his father to utilize it. It's that the Torah gave him the right to actually bring the korbanos of his father. How is he going to bring the korbanos of his father if he's not mechuyav of those korbanos? He can be mechuyav of himself in such a way that allows him to use those korbanos. That's what the Gemara is assuming clearly, that the point would be here. Now, if that's the case, then it would be obvious that we never put a daughter into that kind of position, because the daughter isn't even included in the din of Yerusha. So she's clearly not coming there to take the place of the father if she doesn't even get a Yerusha from the father. That seems to be what the Gemara is asking at this point. Answers the Gemara, well, what about if the daughter is the Yoreshet? So what about then? Suppose there aren't no sons, and all that he has is this daughter. So then you might say that in the same way that the daughter would be a Yoreshet, then that would be true over here. Why would I think that? Because I might think that perhaps the halacha l'meshmi Sinai, that a ben can be megaleach on the zirutor shel aviv, wasn't really stated that way. Maybe the original halacha l'meshmi Sinai is a yoresh can be megaleach on the korban of aviv. Maybe. So, ma'o detema, yorshim gmirala. You might have thought that the halacha l'meshmi Sinai really didn't mention specifically ben as opposed to bat, and was open to any yoresh taking the place of the father. Gomash malan, that no, it means exactly what it says. And that the halacha l'meshmi Sinai was, a ben is megaleach on the zirut aviv. In which case, this really and truly is a special halacha that has to do between av ubno, to the exclusion of the normal elements that we find by Nedarim of Bein Av Lebito, which makes it all the more remarkable. Yiboyle, by the way, you'll notice that this weirdness in the halachas of Naziris extends, as we saw from the Rishonim, into the actual structure and wording of the Masechet, in that the way that the Rishonim put it is that Nedarim and Nazir are weird. Mishunim, and that we found that very much, that the entire mode of thinking is very, very different than we would find in other places. And again, the approach that we've been taking all along is that this is all an outcome of the fact that we are dealing with a virtual reality in those areas, which are defined not the way that the normal dinim of the Torah are defined, but rather they're defined in terms of relationships and the structures of mind and emotions, rather than an external definition, which is more like the derech of the other mesechtas, and of course the Ko'amar Hashem's, as opposed to Zeh HaDavar. Anyway, so getting back now to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Yossi says, look, this is not the way that you can be megaleach al nezirut aviv. It's only in the event that the father first died, and then the son, so on and so forth. Now, it says all of that in the name of Rabbi Yossi. I mean, normally, when we have a Mishnah, and we have a halacha that everybody agrees with, we don't quote it in someone's name. It just becomes the Stam Mishnah. If the Mishnah is presented as the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, it sort of suggests that there's somebody that argues with Rabbi Yossi. And is there, in fact, an argument? And the question is, what part of the statement is specifically Rabbi Yossi? Remember, there were two parts to the statement. One part is, don't think that if the father and son were together in the Naziris, and then the father dies, that the son can then, as an opportunist, utilize that money. No, that's not what it means. It only means, and that's the second part of the argument, it only means that if the son makes specifically a Naziris in order to be able to use those korbanos, then he can. So there's, he cannot, ein zeh megaleach. It's a very strange way of phrasing it anyway, right? Well, ein zeh megaleach, what is the megaleach? It's like backwards. But in any event, it stresses the fact that there's two points to Rabbi Yossi's statement. One is, there is a case where a son can be megaleach al nezirut aviv. And the other is, that there are cases where the son cannot be megaleach on the zirut aviv. Now, if there's a machloket, and this is really idiosyncratic, and it's davka, the shita of Rabbi Yossi, which part of it is idiosyncratic? Is it the very fact that there is a case where a son can be megaleach on the zirut aviv, but others don't hold that, and they were not mekabel that halacha? Or is it the other part, that the halacha only obtains in a case where the son, subsequent to the father's death, made his naziras, but that in other cases, the son would not be able to be megaleach. So this is like from one extreme to the other. Either he's the only one that holds this halacha, or others say there's no right to limit the halacha to specific cases, and it would apply across the board. So both of those questions the Gemara wants to know. Iboilu. Number one, is there a machlokas or not? Pligi rabbanan ale de Rabbi Yossi, olo pligi. Why are we presenting this as the words of Rabbi Yossi? I mean, do we have, in fact, any other shita, known shita, that disagrees? And if there is a machlokas, v'imtim shalomar pligi, if it turns out that there is another shita, which part do they argue with? Do they argue with the opening statement of Rabbi Yossi, or do they argue with the closing statement of Rabbi Yossi? Because that leads to opposite conclusions. I mean, if they're going to argue about the fact that if the son was a nazir together with the father, then he cannot, so then it means they're claiming that even then he can. So they have a much broader interpretation of the applications of this halacha. If they're arguing on the seifa, and they're saying, no, a son could never be megaleach on the zirut aviv, even in the event that he made the nazirus after the father's death with the understanding and the condition that he's going to be megaleach on the zirut aviv, so then that would mean that they totally reject this entire idea of aben megaleach al mohot aviv, right? So, okay, I don't even know if there is another shita. And if there is, I don't know which direction it goes. Is it broader than Rabbi Yossi's in its application of the halacha, or is it totally restrictive? Tashma. Keitzad amra ish megaleach on the zirut aviv. And here comes a bright. Well, how do we apply this halacha that a man can be megaleach on a father's nazir's money? Mi shahaya aviv nazir. Vifrisha aviv ma'ot nazirutu umet. The Amar Harini Nazir Amanacha Agaleach Amaot Abba Zeu Shemigaleach Amaot Aviv. So just like the years that we had in our Mishnah, if the son, after the father's death, makes himself a Nazir with the understanding that he's going to be using his father's money for the Naziris, that is Migaleach Amaot Aviv. But Misha Yahuv Aviv Nazirim, if they were Nazirim together during the lifetime of the father, and the father was mafrish ma'ot neziruto, and then he died, then the son wants to use that money, which he had no idea was coming his way, but he wants to use that money now after he was already mitrayev in his own korbanos. No. Hare elu yiplu l'nidava. That has to fall to a nidava. And this, of course, is exactly like the words of Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah. So this is Divrei Rabbi Yossi. For the first time, we find that there is another shita, and that is that Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda all said that even this case, Zehu as well, Shemigaleach Amot Aviv. So that means that they do not believe that there were limits on this halacha, and that if the son comes into this money just in time to be able to bring his own korbanos, even though initially he had made a standard naziris, and it was assumed by him and everybody else that he'd be paying for his own korbanos, if the father died before, he could still use the father's money in any event. So apparently, there is a machlokas, and the machlokas is on the opening. That is to say that you can use it, the opening in the Mishnah, that you can use the funds even if the son was nazir together with the father. Boy, Rabbah. So now, Rabbah wants to know, based on the interesting exploration of a possible connection that we saw up front between the ideas of Yerusha and the ideas of the special relationship between Av and Bein, he'd like to know, what if there were two sons? So both of these sons, how does it work? In other words, is it that they're going to split it and each one has a right to half of the money and it follows the dinim of Yerusha? Or is there just halacha l'mashmi sinai entirely outside of the dinim of Yerusha, which says a son can take the place of his father? Whoever is there can take the place of the father. I mean, obviously, if the father only had one set of mosdumim, so then one son is going to be able, the first one to do so will be the one who utilizes it. And it has nothing to do with the Yerusha of figuring out how it should be equitably shared. So that's what I'd like to know. If Yesh lo shnei banim nazirim, mahu, this idea of the halacha l'moshe misinai, hilchata gemirin la, and has nothing to do with Yerusha, it's a brand new concept. In which case, I mean, why would we apply equitable sharing to it? I mean, equitable sharing is one of the dinim of Yerusha, but I mean, where would it come in? What, it just seems to us we should throw it into the din of halacha l'moshe misinai by nazir? I mean, we certainly would have no right to do that. In which case, kol dekadim galach galach, whoever is the first one who goes ahead, and he is megaleach, that's one who's megaleach. Oh, dilma, Yerusha gemirin la, or maybe this is a special application of the dinim of Yorshim. Obviously, it's not really a din of Yorshim, because in that case where the daughter was the only Yoreshet, the halacha specifies that it's only a din in Bonim. So it's not really a din in Yerusha. But the question is, when it is active, such as with Bonim, is it active according to the guidelines of the dinim of Yerusha? And therefore, Palgahavi, each one gets half of a right to those karbonas. And each one can use half of the money towards his own korban. I got another question. I mean, let's assume that there is some sense of the equitable splitting of the funds. Well, there's elements of Yerusha that are not equitable. What about the din of Bechor? Would we go so far as to say that the way that we would split the funds, if you would want to split the funds between two children, the way you would be Yerusha, would that mean that if one of them were a Bechor, then the Bechor would have a right to double the amount that a Parshat would have? Would even that apply? So what if one of the sons is a Bechor and one of the sons is a Parshat? What would be the din? Is this something that is its own set of rules and it's Hilchata Gemirah, and therefore Hilchach Lo Baigelu Chilafu Maida Shakil? There's no real relationship between what one would take, be Yerusha, and what rights one has in terms of Giluach. Oh, Dilmor, maybe it really is the din of Yerusha, limited, of course, to males as opposed to females, but the full set of dinim of Yerusha would apply between those males, in which case if there was a Bechor, so then V'kriyecha Teshoko Pishnaim, in the same way that the Bechor would get the right to the normal inheritance, even so, Achi Begaleach, that's the rights that he has to utilize the money from his father's leftover korbanas. Let's say that we would actually conclude that the din, the special halacha l'moshe misinai of the utilization of father's funding for a nazirus actually does follow the dinim of Yerusha, at least in terms of brothers. And we're talking about the case where there would be a Bechor, and therefore maybe a Bechor would also get double. So Lefi Maya Deshakel, that's what he would have a right to take. Is this Bechulin Hu De Islei Pishnayim Av Beheg Deshlo? Does that mean that there is a Bechor? Yes. But so what? And it was, I was saying that each brother would get according to the right that they have in the inheritance. Now, assuming that the Bechor has a right to double the inheritance, then he would have a right to double the Giluach. But I was really taking something for granted. And what I was taking for granted was that when a Bechor gets a Yerusha, that Yerusha is conceivable even in terms of things that the Torah gave him a right of Yerusha to, when they're Kodesh. But now, that's not necessarily true. In other words, even if it does follow the dinim of Yerusha, who is to say that there are dinim of Bechora on these special types of fundings which are Be'etzim Kodesh? That's the question. Because that's a completely different issue. I don't know about that. Oh, Dilma, I mean, maybe it's actually only Bechulin Hu, the Yisli Pishnaim of a Be'eg Deshlo. Or would we be willing to say that the taking on the properties of Yerusha by the special halacha l'moshe misinai of Giluach on Nezirus is literally just throwing in a new halacha, namely that Kivan de Koni Lele Giluach Loshna, which would mean that it's not that the halacha L'Moshe Misinai follows the dinim of Yerusha. It actually creates a new subset of the idea of Yerusha, in which case it would be also saying, well, you know, since we're going to pretend that this is a Yerusha, we'll give it all of the dinim of equitability and of the dinim of Bechora and so on. I don't know whether to take it that far. So this is another question I have. Also, I don't know whether this is just a blanket halacha of utilizing the korban of the father in the sense of the Yerusha. Now, if it really is in the sense of Yerusha, then it shouldn't matter whether the father and the son have the same dinim of Naziris. What if they don't have the same dinim of Naziris? Is there a relationship to the specific Naziris that we're giving you a right to use the father's funding on, or is this really a Yerusha of funding? And then the funding can apply to your own Nazir. So let's imagine the father was a Nazir Olam. Now, a Nazir Olam, he does get to bring once a year, remember, which learned out from Avshalom, that once a year he does a lightening of his hair and he brings the korbanos of a Nazir Tamar together with that type of special Nazir Olam Giluach. He's Mekel Bisaro. So suppose his father was that type of Nazir, and his father had set aside this relation, this korbanos for his situation of Nazirus Olam. The son, however, he took on the dinim of a Stam Nazir. Now, I mean, practically speaking, the korbanos are precisely the same, but they're coming for a very, very different type of Nazirus. By the way, should I mention, just to tickle your interest, the fact that the case in which this was relevant was for the most complex relationship of father and son, in which the Av Shalom was anything but, and it related to his very name. Something weird, you must admit, is going on between these Nazir Olam's things and these Nazir Shimshon things and these special relationships between Av and Bno and Emu Bna and so on, right? I mean, we have to be honest, we don't know what the heck is going on, but there's something multi-leveled in the background over here that's very intriguing. But in any event, so again, the Gemara, of course, hides this just under the overall question of, you know, if it's a different sort of Naziris. So let's say the father was a Nazir Olam and he is a Nazir Stam, or the father was just a regular Nazir and he makes himself a Nazir Olam, and now he wants to utilize the father's Naziris. I mean, forget about that boy that wanted to use his father's wives. I mean, that's even worse, right? Okay, maybe that's a new kind of Nazir's specialty. So, ki gamrinan hilchita bistam nazirut? So, is this maybe just a halacha of typical nazirut? Wouldn't it include these special dinim? Oh, dilma lo shna, or once again. I mean, if we're talking about funding, so who cares about the details of the funding? And then I got another question for you. This is even more strange. Okay. Let's assume that it's a function of funding. Okay. But does it have to be the funding of the same aspect of the same Naziris? So that if the father had set aside Naziris Tahara money, what would the son be able to do if he became Tomei? Could he use the Tomei Tahara money for towards his Tomei Karbonas, his birds, or vice versa? So what's the question? Imtim Tzoloma, that since in this case both at least are talking about a Nazirut Tahara, though one may be Nazirut Stam, and one may be Nazirut Olam, I mean, that's all very sweet, but what would be, asks Ravashi, if the Aviv was a Nazir Tomei, and these funds had been set aside for the Nazirus, the Giluach Hatuma, and he, the child, was just in a state of Tyra, and he was a Nazir Torah, maybe vice versa. Aviv Nazir Torah, Nazir Tamei. What would be the case in there? My Teku, we have insufficient information to deal with any of these fascinating questions, and all of that is left open. So this is a very fascinating sugya, which we will have to be hadron aloch. I'll have to get back to you at some point. And indeed, hadron aloch mi sha'amar. Wow. Well, we've already seen a little bit of this perek because we've spoken about the relationship of Hegdash Ta'ut, and that would have to do with what happens where the Chacham is Oiker the Neder. Remember, we said in that case, if a Chacham is Oiker the Neder, then that makes anything that was set aside Hegdash Ta'ut. And as we'll see in a moment, Beit Hillel holds Hegdash Ta'ut is actually not Hegdash, which would explain why it is in cases where Chacham was Matir and Aziris, everything goes back to being Chulin, because the whole thing was a Ta'ut. And Hegdash Ta'ut is, in fact, not Hegdash. So we examined this machlokas, according to which Beit Shammai Omrim, Hegdash Ta'ut is considered to be Hegdash, and Beit Hillel Omrim, Eino Hegdash. But the details of that machloket are part of our exciting Mishnah tomorrow. So meanwhile, I wish you all a wonderful Chodesh Tov Mivurach, Mishenichnas Adar, Marbim B'Simcha, and may we be zochet to the conclusion of that simcha. Finally, it's been a very long haul since that Marbin B'Simcha, which was all, remember, Pekida B'Alma. And like all Pekidas B'Alma, it got screwed up after just a few, you know, four centuries or so, or four and a half centuries. I mean, it doesn't last long, Pekida. We're looking forward to some serious action, not this kind of, weird Zahadavar kind of stuff. So maybe we will be zochet Bezrat Hashem to the conclusion of the Pekina B'Yama, this Adar, Bezrat Hashem. Okay, see you all with the grace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu tomorrow.